Well, good morning to all of you, and each one of you are welcome to be here. Glad you're here, and welcome you to worship with us, as you already are, and as you already have this morning. Thank you to each one of you who have had a part in the service. It's always an inspiration. Each part, song leading, devotionals, Sunday school, discussion, it's a blessing. It brings a lot of depth and meaning to our services. This morning I pondered what to share throughout the week. And sometimes when you think about bringing something you've just prepared, you wonder that I've just prepared for somewhere else, but I didn't bring it here. You wonder, well, is it just laziness, or am I just trying to get around some extra work? But I'm willing to take those risks this morning and just to share some things that I prepared earlier this week for a funeral service. Friday, a week ago, I got a phone call from some friends of the family, some folks that we've known over the years. They live near to our place of business, and we had interaction with the family as one of the sons was employed a number of years ago for a couple of years after school and through the summer and those kinds of things. And their father, grandfather to some, father to others, had passed away on Thursday. He was 94 years old. Donald Snyder was his name. And because of their circumstances and having left the Brethren Church, which left the faith as they understood it many years ago, they had never really settled in another church, and they had no close ministry to serve in the funeral service. And so there was a request was, would you be willing to share? So we discussed it and prayed about it. And while the decision needed to be made pretty quickly, felt like it was something that we could do, and we did. So on Monday, we had a service at the Albright Church of the Brethren in Roaring Spring. Family and friends, family was invited. It was not an open service. It wasn't a large service. There's maybe 40 people there, 50 at the most. And the title of the sermon that I have for us here this morning, I've made a few changes, and is simply this, Death and Life. And I thought about death a fair amount as I prepared. I've been thinking about death because of William Baer and his passing and our connections to that, and having gone, had the privilege of traveling down there and seeing and hearing just a little bit of that in his life. Both of these men were old men. William was in his 80s. Donald was in the 90s, 94. And yet both of them died suddenly. One died. William was a death, which had to do with the emergency of a fire, and what all caused his death, I'm not exactly sure. The other man simply was being helped up to go to the restroom, and his heart just failed. He died suddenly. His son was lifting him up like this, face to face, because bring him up, and he just collapsed on his shoulder. He was gone. It was done. Life was over. And so there were their lives. There are their lives. And anyhow, as I was preparing and thinking about this last Saturday and knowing that Monday was coming, Monday morning, and a lot of responsibilities, and also wanting to be prepared to go to this service, it just occurred to me that what I really need to do is go sit down and visit with the family. And so I called John in the morning, Sunday morning. I said, John, could I come over this afternoon and sit down and look at, I'd just like to talk to you, like to hear what you have to say, and also I'd like to, if I could, see Donald's Bible and any of his writings. Sure, come on over. So I went, and I was, I don't know Donald real well, and I'm not here to even try to lift up his life at all. The point is, as I read his Bible, as I looked at it, I was impressed of a man who read his Bible, It was a large print Bible, probably one that he's had in the more recent years of his life. And it was just highlighted and underlined and circled from cover to cover. And as I went through it and as I talked with the family or John and his wife, and I came across in his Bible a 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper folded once and written on both sides. And I was looking at it, I asked for a copy of it, and they gave me a copy of it, and I have that copy here this morning. And if you'll notice some numbers on it, that's simply just my points. And they were simply Bible verses that Donald, for some reason, had selected. He had taken them and wrote them down. Some of them, the penmanship was, obviously, it was an old man who was writing these verses. And they were verses that meant something to him. And I felt like in them was some things that I could say to the family from their grandfather, father, husband, yes, and father, great-grandfather even. And this morning, it's a very simple message, but aren't those the best? Because the gospel is just that simple. And life is really, well, the title says it all, death and life. Pretty well encompasses life. Right now, we're here in the flesh. We're here alive. We're breathing. Body is functioning. And yet, our song leader led us in the last song that we sang, "What Will It Be Like?" Songwriter is asking us to contemplate that step past this life. Whether it's the return of Christ and the closure of life that way, or whether it is our death and crossing over that divide. What will it be like? Death and life. And we talked about making choices this morning, and I ponder those very things. And the point is that we are called to press forward in making choices and making decisions and working and being effective where we're at right now, but never forgetting that there's just a step between this life and death. And we have to be okay with that. We also need to understand that it could very well be that the choice that we're making right now is one that we may need to walk back from. It's one that we may need to even repent from, because we are that human. Anyway, that's a little side note. And so here we are. Lives are full. Responsibilities are before us. Challenges, disappointments, all of those things. They all get mixed up in what we call life. But it's just for a moment. It's just for now. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 6, 7, and 8, if I have a text verse, is this. It says, Isaiah chapter 40, it's actually prophecy of what John the Baptist was going to preach, and he was being told what to preach. The voice said, "Cry," and he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it." Because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, surely the people is grass. And then here's the familiar verse we often hear: "The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." And that's what we just want to focus on this morning. Look, the fact is that we are, in fact, withering. We got a lot of young children here, and even there's more young people than there usually is this morning. And wow, you know, I had to think about it. My son was invited to go to see some friends and yesterday down east. Oh, yeah, I remember those days. And so, okay, what are you going to do? What's the plans? Whatever. But, you know, there's a lot before a young person. And rightly so. And there's still a lot before many of us here, of course. I'm not that old of a man. But you just start to see that spectrum of time. just moving right along, just moving right along. And there it is, you know, time, the next generation, there it comes. So the grass is withering, the flowers fading, but the word of our God stands forever. It stands sure. And praise God for that. That is what brings stability to all of the generations. And so, as you think about death, it is a time of mourning, a life that is no more. That just is part of it. You can't get around that because, you know, there was a flower that bloomed. There was a grass that sprung up, but it's withered. Not only has it withered, it's passed away. And its physical presence is gone. That's what death is. Physical presence is gone. And so that's a reality of life, of death, and that cycle. Job said, is there not an appointed man, a time? Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. God's defined it. He knows my end date, and I'm not going to pass that. And so when we experience death close to us, it's right and good that we pause and that we step away from our responsibilities, that we just stop and we think about what it means. It's right that we stop and meditate on a word that we used often when we, at a time like this, is the brevity, the shortness of life. It's good that we stop and meditate on that. And that we have no promise of tomorrow. None of us do. We really do not have. As healthy as I feel right now. David Musselman's father was working on a generator, and that was that. I believe his body is, he's living, but his mind is not able to communicate, function. And so we have no promise of tomorrow. And then in all of that, the question that quietly comes to us, and the question that last song we sang, what will it be like? The question that is asking us is for us to think about what it will be like, or which one of us will be the next to cross over into eternity. That's the question that song begs. While it lifts up these lofty thoughts, it quietly is asking that question. Am I ready? Are you ready? Which one of us will be next to cross? What will it be like? Will it be me? There's something else about death, and that is that there are memories and experiences that we talk about. That close family and friends talk about, just people who happen to cross paths may talk about, but it's experiences. And the influence of that life is thought about and talked about, for good or for bad. And the influence, praise God, the influence of a godly man is not easily removed, or a godly woman for that matter, is not easily removed. It remains. Some of you have lost your parents who have had an influence in your life, and you know what I'm talking about. So as I was looking over these verses that Donald had pulled out and wrote down, I found four points that I want to bring from them. Four verses, well, actually more than four verses, but 4 points that I found in these verses that I'd like to just challenge us with this morning. Number one, it is the simple but foundational and life-changing point, and that is that Jesus saves. He still does. I was at a a meeting here a little while back, and the speaker was talking, and he said, so, you know, Romans 1:16, can you quote it? And there was just quiet across the congregation, or across the group that was there. And I was thinking, oh, Romans 1:16. A man stood up in the back, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. Is that how it is? To the Jew first and also the Greek. And I was like, you know what? Now that's a verse that should be committed to the memory of every Christian, especially a preacher. I should have had that verse in my mind. It should have came to me. Romans 1:16. And that was one of the verses that was written here. Right here in the bottom, penmanship looks like it was an old hand. But Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The good news of Jesus Christ. And I think that is such an elementary part, and yet it is an irreplaceable part of our hope for eternity. What will it be like, is the song asks the question. What will it be like for those who have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus still saves, is what I saw in this verse that was written down on this paper. Jesus still saves. The good news of Jesus Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation. I mean, there isn't a word wasted there. Those words communicate a picture of power, of security, of a plan that God says, I have through Jesus Christ. And Paul's saying, I'm not ashamed of it. I am not ashamed of it. There is a mockery being made of it. We're being persecuted because of it. It seems foolish to the Jews, he goes on to say it in another place. Or it's ridiculed by the Jews and it seems foolish to the Greeks, to the Gentiles. That's us. And yet it is the power of God unto salvation. God is still offering the opportunity that whosoever will may come. Whosoever will may come. It just doesn't matter. Your economic status, your upbringing, your background, your parents, lack of parents. It just doesn't matter. Whosoever will may come. It is the good news of Jesus Christ. And that stands. It's an open opportunity yet. It hasn't changed. Here it is. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said those words of Jesus. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, this morning, the needs of mankind has not changed. The needs of mankind has not changed. Contrary to popular opinion, we are not just becoming better and better. We haven't changed. We have the same needs. We're naturally needy people. We come up short. We make wrong choices. And yes, we sin. That is the status of mankind. But then we have verses like Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath made us sit together, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And the verses continue on. But God, who is rich in mercy. And that's just God's statement to us this morning. Because he's still in the business of saving souls. Another verse that Donald had written down in this list of verses was found in Isaiah 55. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Call upon him while he is near. This is, again, the burden of God, the heart of God to us. Call upon him. He's still near. The invitation is still open. God is still near, and he can hear. He has not withdrawn yet. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. The next point that I have that I found in these verses was from, this point is entitled, God Demands More Than Sacrifice. So as we think about Christians, those who have named the name of Christ, the Bible teaches us that God wants more than just lip service, if I can put it in my own words. He wants more than just good feelings. He wants more. And the verse that was written down here that was selected was 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken, to listen, than the fat of rams. So this is an Old Testament account. This is about offering animals on the sacrifice, on the altar. And Samuel is telling Saul here, is the person he's speaking to, listen, God desires obedience and hearkening to his voice more than sacrifice. And that hasn't changed. That's what God is still looking for from you and I today. The other verses that Donald had written down was those familiar verses in John, 1 John 2, 15 and 16, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so God still is looking for those people who are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ and who are willing to simply obey, to do the will of the Father, to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I'll be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. And then there's those familiar verses in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I quote them fairly often. I can recite the verses, but the living of it remains the challenge. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, I'm even having trouble reciting them this morning. That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so those kinds of verses throughout the scripture, and the ones that have been highlighted here on this notepaper are talking exactly about this thing of God demanding more than sacrifice. And that's what God's still looking for. I believe this morning that we understand that. We teach that many times. And perhaps we teach it out of balance even. But we do recognize that it's in the Bible. God's looking for obedience. He's looking for choices that prove that we are in Christ, that we truly do love him, and that we are living for our God. Jesus said, and I believe it's in Matthew 7, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Talking about the fruits that come out of our lives. The word of our God shall stand forever. And this book is those words, and they continue to speak to us today. The next point that I'd like to just bring to us this morning is we think about death and life. Is that life is full of trials and tests. And this morning in our Sunday school lesson, we were just looking at trials and tests. There was Naomi, there was Ruth, there was the men, and they went over into Moab, and things didn't go well. And one died, the other died, the other died. Trials and tests, and it left Naomi and Ruth and the other sister-in-law in that situation of need. It's just one picture that we looked at in the Bible. The Bible has a lot of those kinds of stories. And guess what? If we look at our own lives and we look at other lives, you can see the same ones. Brother Ernest just mentioned that. Young couple. A little child, you know, that's not going to live. And, you know, the pain of that. And the other sacrifices that they're making. And sometimes it seems like the stack of sacrifices can get really big. But they are tests of life. And thank God that we have, that we at least have the stability of the Word of God that stands forever. That's what the Christian has. He has a lot of other promises that he can lean on. Because some of these same tests face people who don't have that foundation, that assurance, that stability. But we have that. But life is full of trials and tests. And I found that and took that from the verse from Job 5, verse 17 that had been written again on this notepaper. Behold, happy is the man whom the Lord correcteth. Therefore, despise not the chastening of the Almighty. That was Job writing. Behold, that was recorded in the book of Job. Behold, happy is the man whom the Lord correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. There is a reason why we face the tests of life, especially for the Christian, because by faith we are able to receive some good thing from it. You see, the person who faced that test and doesn't have the foundation of Christ in their life, doesn't have the promises of God in their life, can so easily turn into bitterness. And what good comes from that test? No good thing. Instead, it's a terrible thing. And so, God help us not to be bitter people. But life is full of tests and trials. Also, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 26 was highlighted here. It is good that a man should have hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. We understand that what we can always have is hope, and that we wait patiently for the resolution of the problem. We wait upon God to do what only God can do, and that is what the Christian has. But we just need to understand that in this life, until death moves us from it, in this life, we're going to have these trials and these tests. Hebrews 12 makes that clear. Verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son. If we endure chastening, verse 7, God dealeth with us as with sons and daughters, for that matter. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And so I think we can take from that. Let's not become unduly discouraged about life's challenge and obstacles, but rather we have hope and we quietly wait. There was a fourth point that I took from these verses, and in some ways it's sort of a concluding point, but some more verses that were highlighted, and I've entitled them as this: God will bless and keep his own. This sort of circles back to this thing of salvation. One of the reasons why we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ is because God will bless and keep us. He makes those kinds of promises. Numbers 6, verse 24. The desire of a man is for peace and blessing. God gives this to his children. The desire of a man is peace and blessing. That's what God comes to bring. Peace and blessing. And there's times when we wonder about the blessing. And there's times when we feel like our peace is under great test or gone. But again, we wait patiently and we hope, and we discover that once again, God will show it to us. Samuel 22, verse 2. Were some verses that were highlighted here. Also, Numbers 6, verse 24, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God is our rock. In 2 Samuel 22, verse 2, he is our fortress and he is our deliverer. And these are all words of strength and security and protection. That's who our God is. And those familiar verses in Jude verse 24, it's a verse that we often quote at the end of a service. And that this verse was also highlighted here in these papers. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Did you hear that first verse, 24, verse 24? And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Those are verses of promise. Those are verses of security. These verses laud the work of Christ our Savior, who is even now sitting on the right hand of the Father interceding for you and for me. Because we're still here. We're still in this life. And he is still on the right hand of the Father. And so that work continues on. And these are verses of promise. This is why Paul, as he understood it and as he wrote it in his heart, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. And that same power is flowing to whosoever will come and for all of us who are in Christ to present you faultless before the Father. So this is the work of Christ. It is God's plan. We choose him. He chooses us. And together we go forward. These verses are verses of promise. The words of our God shall stand. The word of our God shall stand forever. Security and promise for the Christian, for the believer, to present you faultless. That's the desire of every Christian. And that's why as we step forward in faith and hope in those promises, we're able to sing those songs, What Will It Be Like? Our minds lift up above this world, and we can actually embrace the hereafter. Of course, there is some disquieting thoughts about what that journey is like. But we're able to actually entertain it and embrace the thought of this life after death. And our hearts warm to it, and we get excited about it, and we worship God because of it. All of this, to me, does bring a question to mind. And that is, are you ready? Am I ready? Am I ready? Are we ready? That's really one of the blessings that we should receive from death, is fresh insight into that question. Considering that, do you have the blessing of God upon your life? Are you prepared to enter eternity? Are you at peace with God? Where are you at? That's maybe a question that we ask ourselves as Christians. And for those of us, anyone who may not have yet accepted Christ, has the question of your personal standing before God awoke yet in your heart? Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says this, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. It's Jesus talking there. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. That gives you the picture of Jude 24, doesn't it? To present you faultless before the Father. That relationship. And that's what Jesus is still doing. Death and life. We're thinking about the physical and we're thinking about the spiritual. And God still has the door open. I really just felt like this morning I would like to just give one verse of invitation. We're going to pray before we do that. And I'm just going to, we're going to sing Just As I Am together. I think that's a verse we can sing by memory. But let's pray first of all. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. We thank you for your word and how that it does stand sure. It hasn't changed. We thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you, O God, for the opportunity that's still open and before us. And so this morning I just pray that if there's anyone here who just isn't sure about that relationship and that peace, that you would knock this morning. I pray if there's anyone here who has not yet reached out in faith and received the blood of Jesus on their lives, that you would knock there this morning as well. May your will be done. O God, it is our desire to be a prepared people, ready to cross over that divide. Help us to ponder these questions this morning, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.